With all the opportunities to connect with social media and dating apps today, there's also never been a time where more people have been able to reject each other. It hurts when somebody you've wanted to connect with says no. Remember, man's rejection is God's protection. That person is just making space for your true love that's coming down the road. Today, comedian Meg Grunewald joins us to share her online dating adventures and explore why so many people get the blues when romance doesn't work out. I'm Fausto Fernos, and this is Feast of Fun. Feast of Fun is made possible because of the support of fierce, fabulous people like you. Become a member and listen to 14 years of amazing podcasts at feastoffun.com/plus. Or put a tip in our tip jar and make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. Thank you for your support. My guest today is comedian Meg Grunewald, who, like most entertainers, is being forced by her audience to give them advice on relationships, even though she has no clue on anything.
I mean, I have some clue.
This is a weird phenomena, and I'm starting to observe this, is like, if you're an entertainer with an audience, your audience inevitably is going to be turning to you for all kinds of help.
Yeah.
I mean, our audience asks us for financial advice, whether she...
When I was on Vine, I had people being like, I'm being bullied at school, and this and this, and this and this, and I was like...
And, I, you know, as human beings, we have a hardwired desire to help others who are in need, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe we're not the most qualified people to be giving anybody advice on anything. Except, you know, a good chocolate chip cookie recipe.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think people come to me for advice for some reason. I don't know. I think maybe it's because I'm able to look at, like, multiple sides of things. Being maybe an improviser, I can see that there's multiple viewpoints on something. So I think I just like to
show... You're practically Gandhi.
I know.
You're Jesus and Muhammad.
God, I would kill for the wrists on Gandhi.
Oh, he looks fabulous.
So but I think... I don't know. I think maybe I have... I don't know what it is, but somehow people think that I have some answers. And I think I just kind of offer a different perspective for somebody to think about. And I don't know, especially in dating, I've been dating for a great number of years. So, you know, I mean, I've been dating for 20 years. Would you agree there's no one-step solution?
And, you know, I think talking about it with different people and even, you know, your favorite entertainers is a good idea. But this idea popped into my head when I, you know, Aziz Ansari had that scandal where he was like, forcing himself on this woman or pressuring to have sex with him. It was like bad sex on a bad date.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, he has a book out. I went, oh, it's a comedy book. Like, you know, like Bill Cosby's Fatherhood.
I read Modern Romance. I actually thought it was quite good, despite his...
It's a book on how he's a master of relationships.
He's not saying he's a master of relationships.
He's giving relationship advice in the book, isn't he?
Yeah, but a lot of it's based in science. It's more like a nonfiction look at modern day dating and talking to people and looking at, like, you know, what's the most effective way to get somebody to answer you back. Like I was telling you, I write people all the time. So you would think you want somebody's phone number to call them, like that's the goal. So I don't like to message a billion times back and forth. I kind of put people to the test and I put my phone number like, hey, great, let's continue this. Or like, they're like, do you want to meet for a drink? I go, sure. Give me a call and we'll figure it out. Here's my number.
But you're talking about like online dating.
On an app. But I'm saying
not interpersonally. Like
no, not interpersonally.
Somebody.
I mean, interpersonally, if somebody wants my phone number bad enough, you can ask for it. I'm not just handing this thing out like it's a flyer. But if you're on the internet and we match, I don't want to message you a million times to talk about the fucking weather. If you say you want to meet, you sound interesting enough, call me. But I'm telling you, I have put my number out so many times. Nothing. No call. Not at all.
Well, maybe these people got into like a car accident, something sudden and unexpected happened.
Yeah, their dick fell into another person.
A black hole.
But no, I mean, the thing is, I understand for a point, but if... How many car... Really? Four people have gotten into a car accident? I don't think so. But I think the thing
so
is that
people, like
people
are
on there...
sloppy about responding on
I think they're very sloppy.
Or,
and I don't think people know why they're
on there.
But you're
not.
I'm not. I'm on there because I'm looking to meet somebody. I'm looking to start conversation. I'm on there actively.
Sure.
Now, here's the thing. I've had previous boyfriends who, you know, we broke up because they were not sure what they wanted, and then we're friends, and I see something like Bumble or I see Tinder pop up, and I have, and I, and because we're very good friends, I'll say, "Why are you on there?" And their one of their response was, "Well, you know, my friends have had success on there and stuff," and I'm like, "Okay, you just told me you didn't want to be with somebody, you don't know what you want for your life, so why are you on a dating site?" And really, he couldn't answer. So I think a lot of...
He was just feeling things out.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are just on these sites because they think they should be, and they're not really sure what they want. And so... They're on there because they feel... It is fair, but I'm saying, like, you know, if you're on there, know why you're on there, because other people do, and... Like myself, I know why I'm on there. I'm not on there to just chitty-chat and, you know, waste my day.
So before we get into defining what this obstacle is, I just want to preface this, that good advice can be found anywhere.
Yeah. And I'm not saying my advice is the best advice, but it's some advice that comes from me.
And
it's proven to work for other people.
If something resonates with you... Do fact check it, get a second opinion, especially when it comes to, you know, relationship advice. Because, you know, Bill Cosby and Aziz Ansari both put out lots of books on relationships.
I would not put Aziz Ansari quite next to Bill Cosby right now.
Well, there are people who are famous for having
some
scandals,
sort of scandal, but
where the whole communication relationship broke down and they were sort of pushing themselves on another individual.
There wasn't really a lot of communication on Bill Cosby's end.
Not at all.
But what I'm saying is he chose to incapacitate people to be able to communicate. Whereas Aziz Ansari, whatever happened was, you know, whatever. I have different...
But so moving
on,
it's the idea, and I got this idea for the show, and I wanted to talk with you about this because we have a friend in common. We were out hanging out at the International Mr. Leather Conference and Contest. It's why I describe it as the Pride Parade indoors with air conditioning and cocktails. Everyone's in a costume of some kind.
Just are lacking that sweaty, sweatiness.
That sticky sweatiness. And I think, you know, it's a very joyful environment. It's a little bit difficult for a cisgendered heterosexual woman to be in because it's such a sexualized environment for men.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I think like, the stone cold butch lesbians like it. And there's definitely a strong presence there.
Yep.
But I would say if you're looking for a very conventional relationship with another man and you identify as female, this is maybe a place that might trigger you. Mm. So she's in this environment. She gets a text message from... She's really happy. She's like, "Oh my God, this is so outrageous. Oh, look at those dildos. Look at these harnesses. Wow." You know? And then she gets a text message from a guy that she was supposed to hook up later that night. And her smile just went away. And she was just super upset. And my thought said, this is the future. Own your happiness. And I'm, you know, right now secretly very miserable because my husband's gone away. I don't know where he is. I haven't been able to communicate with him.
Come on. That makes it sound...
I don't know where he is.
Now you're going to start a new podcast like the Richard Simmons one. And it'd be like, "Where is Mark Fellion?
Where is he?
Where is he?" And then there's going to be like, he's all right.
He's all right. But part of
but
it
you're
is
missing
like,
him.
I'm missing
I'm
him.
Saying
I'm
you're,
very
you're,
sad
you,
by
your
it.
Listeners are going to be like,
I am sad. And the listeners are sad by that.
SOS for him.
Well, I know that I trust that he is in good hands and he's doing amazing things and he will one day come back and share these amazing stories with
us. But your happiness, but I mean, the thing is, it's like, the thing is, you have a partnership, you have a friendship. Anybody's sad when they don't see their best friend. So, you know, that could be true with any relationship, but it's sort of, then you have to explore, like, the time away of being like, am I really that dependent on this person for my feelings of like, you know, that's when
feeling
it's a good
whole.
Assessment. Yeah. But you're still whole, even though they're not here.
I'm definitely, you know, the best part of me is gone, and definitely, like, I am not 100% there. And the listeners, you know, you guys could vouch for me. I'm kind of like,
they're all chiming in like, uh-huh, yeah, I've taken a couple weeks off.
But I know. I mean, the thing is, and, you know, you have somebody and they're just happen to be away, whereas, like, you know, I have a lot of friends, and myself included, that we are in our early, mid-ish, late-ish 30s, and they're single. And I do feel bad when my friends are, you know, really upset about being single. And I mean, I share that with them sometimes too, but I also have a very high level of standard of who's going to be able to, like, knock on my door, because I've had...
You're vetting them.
I need to vet them, because I was very, very just like, I want to see good in everybody as the years went, you know, as the years were going on. And now I'm like, oh my God, no. Like, I have very, very, very good filters on.
When I first started dating Mark, my mother's like, he smokes all the time.
People, you know, change. I know that, but...
And part of me is like, I thought he would smoke for his entire life, but, you know, 15 years ago, he's one day, he's just like, I'm going to stop.
But you were, you liked him regardless of him, yes, smoking or not. So.
But I was like, you got to do that out of the house.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, we make each other better. Like, this, you know, an ex of mine, our more recent ex, like, I was only with him for 5.5 months, but, you know, speaking of advice, like, I really opened up and helped him kind of get better, like, in his own self, built up confidence and really, you know, kind of get a control of having ADD, mm-hmm, and, like, really managing that and not feeling so much anxiety and realizing, like, you don't have to be perfect and stuff. And that's just my own years of therapy. But, you know, it's like that, you know, you want to leave somebody better than you found them. And so even though this person was not ready to be with me, I feel good being part and having that time with them, because, you know, that was making somebody a better person, that, mm-hmm, down the road, somebody else will date them and they're going to benefit from it. And to me, that's worth it.
So the future women that hook up with your exes owe you money. Basically.
Oh my God. They owe me. They owe me.
You're going to go to their wedding and be like, you should be giving me a present.
And you can Venmo me at Smeg.
You can Venmo people money as long as you know their Facebook name.
As long as you know their name. Friends or their Venmo name, yeah. But anyway, the thing is, you can feel, you know, you can have somebody to complete you. But I think in this relationship that I was, there was a big component to this person that was missing. And I opened a lot of doors, and now he's discovering that for himself. And so.
So do you want him back?
No.
You're like, ready. You're done.
Well, I don't want somebody who doesn't know what they want.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I know what I want. I know the type of situation I'm looking for.
But isn't the magic of discovery, you know, it's like, it's fun sometimes to discover you wanted something before you even knew you desired it. You know, it's like going into an art gallery and you're like, look at this art, and you go, wow, I didn't know I wanted to see this, but now that I've seen this, I'm really glad I did.
Which is why I took that last relationship very slow and was not asking, where is this going? What are we doing? I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to let to see where this organically goes. Because when we met, it was very organic and we got along great. And, you know, it was a really promising thing. I just didn't know his point of view on what he wanted, mm-hmm, and, you know, cause I didn't want to pressure him, but I do think at a certain point, especially, you know, at 34 years old, I do need to be a little clearer with what we're looking for, because not to waste, and I'm quote unquote waste time. I don't think I just wasted time, but I do want to meet somebody and build that rapport before we just start being like, you'll do, you know. So I am.
Well, do you feel like in some ways,
but I don't think I don't feel like I'm incomplete without somebody, but I do want that.
But in terms of, like, you know, this person, you're sort of always sizing up the person you are in a relationship with or dating them. And in some ways you're in this idea of, you're kind of judging them in some regard.
Well, I mean, but aren't they judging me? I mean, the thing is, I'm sizing you up as, are you a good partner? How do you communicate with me? Because I'm not going to enter into a relationship with someone who does not know how to communicate. I'm a big communicator. I mean, I make a living teaching people how to communicate. So to me, if you have nothing to say, if you get offended easily, if you're not willing to hear what I like and what I want, then we're not going to work because
So start dating your students.
I can't date my students.
That's what my parents did. Well, my mother,
trust me, that's a big thing in the improv world.
As soon as the class was done, they started going on a date.
Well, when the class is done, I can do that. But the thing is, in the improv community, there was a big thing about teachers dating students and people hitting on people when they're in higher positions. And I just truthfully,
it's a power structure.
And I mean, we don't hear too much about women doing it to men, but
There's no apps where sort of women are taking the initiative, like Bumblebee. I guess is one of them.
Bumble is what I'm on. And so you can, the men can just swipe, and you can do same sex searching on this. And in same sex searching, I guess you have, anybody can start, either party. But if it's female to male, it's the woman has to message first.
And what about if it's two lesbians?
So either one of them can message.
The butch one.
Either one of them can message. So
what about the two gender non-binary people?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they're on.
Can you change your gender identity and not get banned like you are on Tinder? I am banned for life off of Tinder because I changed my gender identity.
To what?
To female, so I could get some straight trade. and then I started like hearing from a lot of other trans people who, you know, I was doing more of as a curiosity, and they were doing as a, you know, life or death identity, expression of their identity. And they were just like, Tinder to this day still bans trans people from their platform for life if they come out as, you know, a new gender in the process of dating.
I don't do Tinder because it's too random.
It's a shithole.
I mean, Bumble, but the thing is, Bumble for me, you know, now I have criteria for Bumble. I won't swipe right on you if you don't have any information about yourself. If it's just your pictures and your location and your age, I don't, because what am I going to do? I'm going to strike up a conversation with just nothing, dead air? No. If your pictures look like they're from several different decades, I'm a little weary. But I mainly just
Did you have a photo of yourself at 10 years old or something in there?
Yeah, but that's clearly like, look at me looking like a ridiculous nerd bomber.
It's
not
a great,
like,
geeky
not like
photo,
look at me when I was super thin and now I am not so thin. Your picture should be within the last year or 2 years.
Okay.
I'll even go three years if you don't change.
So you started chatting with one guy.
So I started chatting, I think. Yeah. And so some of them I just, you know, I try to be creative. And like this one guy said, he didn't ever respond to my awesome message, but he said something on his profile, great career and knight in shining armor. So I wrote him saying, you mentioned great career and knight in shining armor. Should I assume you work at medieval times? He did not respond. Wait, so
you have to throw the fan.
Oh,
stung.
But I mean, you know, there's
slap him.
Yeah.
Is this getting the guys horny to get to have a sort of like shady drag queen like comment?
Tell me
the other comeback that you did to the guy who shaved his head.
Oh, okay. Like, so there was a guy that he had one. He had a couple of pictures where he had his head shaved. And I was like, ooh, I dig the buzzed head. Because he had this other goofy looking, like 90s looking hair. It was like Chandler Bing. And he goes, haha, thanks, Meg. And I said, is this your summer look or your always look? He said, it's a relatively new look for me, but possibly my always look. How about you? Any intentions of bringing back the bangs? Because I have that cute as, you know, whatever. I said, I like it as an always look. You look badass, cool, action movie star. Keep it. And
so you're like saying he looks like Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I was like, you look like sexy and like, it's more
die
fitting.
Harder,
yeah,
baby, die on my vagina.
And then only but 3 days later do I take a little gander at his profile again, and all of the pictures are buzzed heads now. So I guess that really resonated with him. Except he hasn't messaged me since May 13th.
But maybe he's just waiting to be done with, you know, the car accident he was in. And
but I also hate what he has written in his profile. So I don't really care. I mean, he's cute, but he just mentions his location, his credit score, his Uber rating.
Oh, he puts his credit score in his dating profile?
Yeah, 825.
That's pretty high.
And Uber rating, versus the Chicago average and preferred bedroom temperature 65 degrees Fahrenheit. And can
825's credit score get? Can I have his phone number?
And can someone explain Snapchat to me? So I guess I should just explain Snapchat. I don't know what Snapchat. I don't really.
Snapchat is what
I know what
young
it is.
People
I just don't
use
care.
When they don't want to people to see or remember the photos a year later.
Yeah, there's a lot of
That's
people.
The, in a nutshell, there.
Also on Bumble, if you say that if your location is O'Hare International, I don't even swipe on you because I know you're just in town visiting.
Oh, you don't like those businessmen in hotels?
Hell no. And if you're a pilot, I just have bad assumptions right from the bat.
Hotels make me horny.
Also, there's lots of offerings to kill spiders.
What?
It's a typical thing. Like, also, a lot of people are like, no kids, never married. And I don't understand. Like, are you trying to tell me that you don't, like, you currently don't have any kids and you're not married? But also, what does that mean? Like, do you never want that? Because it's very prominent for you to say what you don't want. Oh, I should read that other one about mm-hmm. the guy that seemed really, really cheerful and really having positive time on the Bumble site. Remember, he said, also, if you seem like you're passive aggressively angry, or maybe like, what is it? The incels. He goes, I'm looking for a woman that's mean, clingy, and jealous. You should talk about your ex all the time and never offer to pay. My looks can maybe a 5 out of 10 at most, but my personality is a solid 6. I'm banking on your standards being lower than mine. Uglier in person, and fuck Trump.
Well, at least he's fucking Trump.
I guess he's fucking Trump. But the thing is, to me, when you put that on there, I go, ooh, baby, I see a lot of negative energy there. And you yeah. have a lot of, you have a lot of things against women instead of the things you're looking for in women. So when people write on their dating site, like, not looking for this, not looking for that, I'm like, why don't you list what you are looking for? And then if the person qualifies, they can apply.
Well, what would you like to see a straight guy?
I like saying not, no pen pals, please. I do appreciate that because that's saying like, hey, I want to meet, I want to talk, I don't want to just keep texting. But anything else, it's like, don't be stuck up, don't be basic, don't be this. It's like, well, then what do you want? Like, you look basic as hell, so I don't know what you're looking for.
So what do you want the guys to put on their profile? What kind of behavior would you like to see?
I like something. I like pictures that look like you have a personality that aren't just taken, just blurry photos that were taken out at a bar one night. I don't really care that you have a boat or you've been on a boat before, but cool. If you look like you just, like to me, if you look like you hang out with girls that belong in a go-go cage at a club downtown in River North, I'm going to guess we may not be compatible. But also, that's the kind of, like, that's the level of beauty and standard you're accustomed to, and that's only a character I play, so I don't.
Do straight identifying people on dating apps behave in the same way that a lot of gay guys do?
What, like want to fuck?
No, they write like, you know, no fats, no femmes, no Asians.
No, they're not like that.
Have you ever seen a straight guy write no fat chicks?
No, I have not.
So they're a
they
lot,
would get blocked.
They were a lot nicer.
Or reported. Oh,
to
yeah.
each other.
Well, the thing is, they'll, you know, they, let's just be honest. The guys that are going for the Playboy bunnies really wish that they could admit and they wish they could get the big booty flavor. You know yeah, what I'm saying? Sure. They really do wish they could, but they're like, oh, I'm a bro. That's like, I need a skinny, like fucking, but I like, I really want to bury my ass into a size 18. So, you know, but it's it, the thing, what do you ask about what I like on a profile? I like something that I can write about. Like, I don't care about your Uber score. Like, yeah. you know, that's not that interesting. If you have interesting pictures I can comment on, if you have...
You mean your credit score? Or your Uber score?
I don't need your Uber score. I got a car, and I don't need your credit score. I got... That's good that you're financially, you know, sound.
So you think Uber but drivers are bad people today?
He's not an Uber driver. He's oh. an Uber taker.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So anyway, the thing is, that's just super, very superficial stuff. Like, share something weird with me that I'm going to like to comment on. You know, I just... I just like mine ends with chill as fuck because I'm like, I'm a lips. I have also avid lip syncer because I love to lip sync. And if somebody
you're
can see
pretty
that,
good at that,
I am pretty good. Thank you.
What was the last song you lip synced?
Lately I've been doing a lot of sorry, I'm not sorry, but Demi Lovato in my house, but nothing on stage.
I got a cast in a drag show.
Oh,
House of Travesties. That's coming in June here at the call.
Oh.
And because Mark's going away, so I was like, oh, let's stay busy by putting on women's pantyhose. And I'm finally going to shave my face and show them how fishy and feminine and horny. I'm going to make the men, when they see me dress up as a gorgeous woman.
I want to do drag again.
Yeah, why don't you come with me?
Okay.
You have to ask the host of the show if you can perform.
Okay.
They might say no.
That's fine. I'm
but it's all open to everyone, and a lot of cisgender women perform in this show.
Okay.
So it'd be kind of cool. So I went and sort of looking at self-help blogs, and because that's always fun to sort of comment on those. And I found one on lifehack.org about owning your own happiness. Stop looking for happiness in others and create it for yourself.
But thanks for reading our article about how to find happiness.
Oh, I'm going to go look for happiness
on this website. But it is, you know, the thing is, we know these things, you know, a lot of these things are basic, just basic things. But I think it's nice to see the reminder. So you want to read one of them?
Sure. Look for yourself to check if you have become emotionally dependent on another person. Test yourself. Are you looking for a partner as a way to make yourself happy?
So, for example, your friend that got the text from her phone, because I have been around friends that have had the same situation where they get a text, like they're all like, I'm here, I'm present, I'm really here. And I'm like, what? Why are we? Oh gosh!
You but I'm like, you're letting this person let your night. Women in my life who are in that sort of feeling sorry for themselves, I say, are you in charge or are you not in charge?
Oh,
and they
call
answer,
me Charles because I'm in charge.
Yeah, Charlie, you're because, in charge, honey.
But that's you're in charge of how you respond to things.
And then they suddenly like it. Wakes them up a little bit, you know, because it's like, listen, you can't. This is why, and I would just want to urge this to a lot of people who are listening to the show. You are in charge.
Well, here is my advice on that.
Unless you're, you know, underground, like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. But,
well, this is the thing. Yeah. People think, you know, in online dating, they're like, oh my gosh, I just keep like chatting back and forth with this person. Or like, I just keep, you know, they never want to talk. They don't call me. And I said, you are the one that is in control of giving the power and your energy to this person that you may never meet. You may, you know, if you're going to let them, trust me, I've given up lots of time chatting with people when I'm like, man, those dishes could be done. Like, you know, I'm giving time and energy to people that may never meet me, who don't know anything about me, that would not care that I was messaging on the way to work and made me, you know, like all this stuff. They would not care about that. So why are you allowing yourself to stop your life to answer these people right away or, you know, let them control your emotions? And, you know, it's like, me, and I write somebody, I send them my number, they don't call. I'm as a safety net, which I don't normally like to do, I send a thing that's almost apologetic for being what I am and
self-absorbed.
No, call me a sponge, baby.
It is disappointing when you meet
you put
somebody anywhere. You know, and this to me, even like when we're trying to book guests on the podcast, you know, part of the reason I wasn't more aggressive about chasing Scott Thompson, for example, who had a lovely time. Mm-hmm. And since he's like, Brian Sweeney and I are going on a date with Scott Thompson.
Oh, I love it.
We're actually going to meet him in person and
see,
you know, have a three-way.
Great.
And part of it was like,
do you hear
like,
that, Brian? You're in for it.
Yeah. Poor Brian being roped into sex with gay men. And part of me is like, it hurts to be rejected.
Even, oh my God.
Even when you are understanding the mechanisms behind it. It's like, and man's rejection sometimes is God's protection. That person saying no to you, and as Americans, Americans have a really hard time with the word no. We think of it as a very negative word, but in fact, it is the beginning of new possibilities. Mm-hmm. And so when a job interview says no to you, a dating person, a person you wanted to be friends with rejects you for whatever reason, it's actually opening up time and space for you to explore new things.
Yeah. And I'm going, okay, I'm going to move on then. Like, I don't need to give, I have time for you. If you don't want that time or you don't deserve that time, Bang. Goodbye. I just, yeah. And I, do you want me to start playing?
No, I'm saying ask me what I've been doing with my free time.
Okay. Well, I thought I was still talking about my sordid love life. It's okay. What have you been doing with your free time?
And then, so I say to people, like, you know, if someone says no to you.
Yes. You find a hobby, which is what?
I don't know
a good segue into this.
I'm taking harmonica lessons.
And you're also working on an old sea shanty with that little...
It is very, like, you know, Popeye.
And I've... Yeah. I know. Anyway.
Blow on the whistle.
I know.
You're like... You're working on being a train engineer.
Yep.
And a part... You're auditioning for Drag Race, too. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Mother has arrived.
No, but I was talking about being, and we've got so distracted, but I was going to talk about being friends and being like,
yes.
I after a show at Comedy Sports, there was a group of people that stayed back and they were, you know, really loving us. And this woman was like, you're so darling. Here's my card. Message me. Da 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 da. She's like, I want to set you up. Da da. I message her. Nothing. She's a self-help person.
She was
person.
One of those
she's
matchmakers? A self-help.
No, she's just a woman that came to the show, but she was like, here's my card, call me, like, I just think you're so...
Set you up with what?
She was like, I don't know, she's like, I think we have friends that we would... She's like, you're so darling, but whatever, you know, people say stuff. But the thing is, I like to follow through. So I said, I messaged her being like, thanks so much for coming out, but no response.
You know, the secret of life is
so
to show,
like,
up for the job.
Are we not being making friends? I'm saying you can be rejected. It doesn't even have to be dating. You can make an effort to make some, to invite somebody into your life in a different capacity. And if somebody doesn't want it, can't be offended by it.
I just got involved in a really awesome, cool project that I'll be talking about soon.
Mm-hmm.
And people kept asking me, how'd you get involved in that? And I was like, I just showed up. That's all it took. It wasn't like you had to, like, fill out forms or anything like that. Just showing up to things.
Well, I still show up to Saturday Night Live every week, and they never let me out. This doesn't work for everything.
Yeah, I have a lot. You and I both have a lot of friends who have auditioned for Saturday Night Live.
I have friends on Saturday Night Live.
And you have friends who are on it. And what would you? Were they as surprised as you were when they got cast on the show?
I mean, everybody. I mean, secretly, I'm sure they're like... saw this coming, but
they're more confident.
I mean, the thing is, there's a difference between being like, you should not be surprised that your talents got you that far. You know what I mean? Like,
but I'm sure there was a huge moment of doubt.
I would also say to everybody who doesn't get on SNL, that doesn't mean that you've failed and that you didn't, that you're not less than.
So are comedians like the way drag queens are for Drag Race, the way they are for SNL, that they watch the show to you know, understand every nuance of it,
and sometimes
they just dedicate their whole lives to auditioning for that show.
There are people like that. And I've never auditioned for SNL,
and I never will.
I don't. You know, the thing is, I don't. I mean, I don't. It, not like a. I don't need that. I don't. Yeah, it would be cool. It would be really fun. It would be the dream of my past 8-year-old self. But you know, I can also impact and shape and help people become better people in general in Chicago by doing what I'm doing. So
you don't want to be on Mad TV?
I loved Mad TV. I thought that show was great. You know what? Oh, man. There were so many good characters on it.
Another thing that they say is get comfortable in just doing nothing. Being on your own.
Mm-hmm. Curse of the Only Child.
Well, you're an expert at
it. An expert at it. The thing is, I can be alone, and I don't necessarily... I'm not always necessarily lonely.
Sure.
But I can be alone.
The thing about me is, like, I just don't get enough sleep, and if I... Like, I'll wake up, and have this dog being like, take me out, I'm going to poop all over the floor if you don't.
See, that's why I have cats.
And I'm like... And he's a lovely, lovely being in my life.
Yeah. I mean, how much more alone would you feel if he wasn't here?
I would be very sad. Yeah. And so he's a ray of sunshine. But at the same time, he's also an eating, pooping machine.
Aren't we all?
But, you know, I have to do both for him to some degree.
Well, have a baby.
We lost some war where dogs won and humans have to pick up after them.
It was that Isles of Dogs movie.
Oh, it's another one they're saying, complain less.
Yeah.
Stop being such a negative person. Focus on your assets. What is good in your life?
Because
the people who want to hang out, to attract them, You have to talk about what's exciting. What's even when we're doing this podcast, you know, I see so many people who create content on the internet and they're just all like, you know, use their platform as a way to vent, to hate on others. And, you know, Roseanne is a great example of somebody she just lost her TV show.
Bye.
She just started ranting about every, you know, the Clintons again.
What?
And making some racist comparisons to African-American former staff members. And Wanda Sykes first said nope to out of there. And then ABC, even though, you know, the show was doing good for them.
But I think people were in it for curiosity. They were in it.
They were looking to see what
happened. They were looking
to
see, you know, but I was like, but those snarky, you know, foul-mouthed kids are grown up now. They're just foul-mouthed adults. It's not like the snarky ass.
It's not cute.
It's not cute. It's just like, and I haven't seen the new Roseanne because I also don't care. So, you know, I'm not surprised that it's shocked. I mean, that it's stopped because it's also like, what story are we going to follow now? You know, like, I thought he died in the first. I thought he died. I thought Dan Connor died. Was it all a dream?
They just kind of pretended like he never died, you know. So
they pretend they didn't switch the Becky.
Yeah, and then so they had two actors playing the different Beckys, and it was just a situation where it wasn't compelling enough to watch.
Well, as the kids got older,
and
I also
now
didn't
on
watch.
ABC, and it's hard to, you know, we live in a different world where we don't turn on the television set and watch a show. We go to digital media and watch it on our own time. And so because they weren't making it easy for people to consume, I just was like, you know, and part of it is like for me to watch RuPaul's Drag Race is also a huge obstacle. Like I have to either buy it on iTunes. I have to like go to a friend's house. It's not as easy as when it was on Logo.
Well, and people, you know, because I've done drag a little bit and I help out with cooking with drag queens and all this stuff. People are always asking me like, oh my God, what'd you think? And I'm like, didn't watch it.
You don't know any of these people.
I haven't seen a couple scenes. I don't know any of them. I'm like, I don't. I mean, I follow a few people on Instagram and I'll see little clips, but I'm also, you know, I don't want to pay for that channel and I don't like, I'll catch up someday. I don't need to be
in
it.
I'll watch the clips on YouTube.
Yeah. And my friends will be like, oh, could you believe it? I'm like, I could not because I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
I'm like catching
up. A lot of drag queens that you had no idea who they were.
I did. And I'm so happy I met them before they were like the thing because people have, I met a kid in Moorhead, Kentucky. He was, I mean, this is where that Kim Davis horrible woman wasn't signing people's marriage certificates. And this kid comes up to me and I was like, oh, they're like, we got to go home and watch Drag Race. And I said, oh yeah, you know, I told them about cooking with drag queens. And I was like, yeah, you know, I've driven Ginger Minj and Bob and Katja and Lady Bunny. And they were like, can we touch you? And I was like, they just sat in my car and I didn't realize, I only realized that it was like Lady Bunny at that time. I was like, oh, you're recognizable. Who are these other people? And now
so
I'm like,
Lady
oh,
Bunny
I know.
Before she
I knew
met
who Lady
her.
Bunny okay. was. Yeah. I mean, I,
and
you
she's
know.
Definitely the nicest of all.
Like, well, I saw Wigstock and I saw all that stuff over
but she's
the years.
Very approachable.
Oh my God. She was darling.
She's a great conversationalist.
We talked about Kelly Clarkson's sleep apnea. No, Lady Bunny's sleep apnea and Kelly Clarkson's weight gain.
Lady Bunny has sleep apnea?
I don't know. We were talking about breathing and sleeping.
Oh, I mean, you know, I think like as you get older and if you're overweight, definitely, you know, breathing. And
well, I'm not
sleep
saying anything about overweight, but we were talking about sleeping and snoring and breathing. It was a really, this is exactly what you think you're going to talk about with Lady Bunny when you're driving. But she did come out of the hotel in like this little like shift dress, barely covering her booty and a huge wig that she had to almost fit in my car.
Well, people always ask me like what she looked like out of drag, and I'm like, pretty much the same, you know. It's just a little bit less makeup, but it's not like, oh my God, what.
But even the girls that come here, I don't see them out of drag.
Yeah, we don't. They're we tell them drag. Not to get drag and drag here to show up.
Yeah.
So you know, it's about.
But I mean, yeah,
busy,
I've met
right?
all these girls, you know. I mean, and I've enjoyed meeting them. But I am happy that I kind of met them before they were a big thing.
Yeah, but people accuse you of being a star chaser. Even
but
if
I wasn't.
Person,
look at that. There's records.
It doesn't matter.
Well, they're they can stay. Like, they can star chase me all they want.
So, in a nutshell, about like owning your own happiness, it really is just it's about sort of like accepting those sad feelings in you.
Yeah, accepting it's okay to feel like you want to be with someone. That's okay. That's fine.
But it's about finding things to be happy about.
Yes.
And
because that person's not going to make you happy in all the ways that you're unhappy.
And this is a question I get asked a lot by our listeners. Do you believe in God?
Wait, who's asking that?
People ask me this all the time. Because, you know, I really like to think about... And so I was thinking, I was like, well, what does it even mean to believe in God in the first place? Because so many different faiths and religions have different concepts.
Well, in Judaism, I mean, the tenets of it's like making a better world, being kind to each other, being a good person, and that we're commanded by God to do that. So you could just tell people be a good person, but, you know, we have this sort of guilt trip that goes along with it. Like, somebody's expecting you to follow through with these... with these asks. So,
well, I reduced it down and I was thinking, I was like, what do they all share in common and why are they going to these churches or theaters or gatherings and, you know, kneeling or praying or meditating to some silent entity? And it's all about the state of the mind. God is a desire to connect with everything around us, and it's born out of the struggle of life. It is the promise that you can overcome anything when you work together with a community. It is the decision to be at peace when you're surrounded by war. It is to be happy when there's many reasons to be sad. It is to be fed when you are hungry, and it's to be abundant at times of famine. God is about that feeling you get when you're going to a really good party and you've been looking forward to it and you're going, yay! That's all it is.
Yeah.
And sure. That's why, you know, and I think as Americans, you know, right now we are being pulled apart in like a sweater by so many malevolent people, forces, organizations. And part of it is like we need to think about what makes us happy and what we share in common in order to keep our wits together, our communities together. Because it's like Trump right now is saying in the 2018 election, he's basically projecting saying he's not going to, you know, let that election happen. He's basically saying he's going to meddle as much as he can. And, you know, it is very distressful and terrifying. At the same time, you cannot let this malevolent force rob you of your own happiness. And I see so many young people today in kind of a gloomy cloud, you know, because it's like they see that change doesn't happen as fast as they want it to. They feel like they have to compromise. They have to, you know, they're fighting with each other in their own communities on social media. And it is really like unnerving to see just everything that they love about life unraveling. But ultimately, it's like you have to look for, you know, as black folks in the church say, let go and let God. Look for that happiness, that state of mind, and cultivate that state of mind wherever you can.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. And whenever I see something getting started, like every now and then, I'll get into some. I'll get very rabbit holey on some comment page on Instagram, and I'll be like, woo! And then I'll go from page to page to figure out, like, oh, that's what that person has on their page, and they're making that comment. Okay, and then I'm stopping, and I'm like, who am I? Why am I getting involved with this shit I don't even care about that does not involve me? Because I find, for me, I like the psychology behind it. Like, like what is driving this person to get so heated about this thing with this person? Are they just trolling? Are they really, do they really want to see this? And I love hate when people are like, you know, in a conversation of like, you know, you're in the conversation and they're like, tag, Fausto, I see your point, but the point I was making was this. thanks for your opinion. And it's like, great, thanks, Karen. So glad that you saw my point, but that's not the point I was making. Fausto, thanks for contributing. It's just like, it's. I know they're trying to get you to look at the thing, but it seems so like, I'm going to use your name because I want you to know that I'm talking exactly to you in this argument that could be taken off of this page thread. Like, just take it privately if you want. Like,
we need spaces to have these kind of conversations that has happening on social media to have it face to face. And we don't.
No, we don't.
And I think, you know, one good thing that happened today is that Starbucks got their employees for an hour to have basically training to say to them, if people want to hang out in your business
any customer,
and have a conversation with each other or
and not purchase anything,
let it be.
They say anybody who walks through the door is a customer.
Yeah, or potential customer.
It's a potential customer or somebody who is welcome into our stores.
It's about time that... I thought that was a given. I thought all of America had that. It makes me sad that they would have to have that kind of training, because in my retail environment, that's certainly the truth.
Well, after that, after those two guys were escorted out...
And they were, like, assaulted by the police.
Yeah, I mean, they were...
For basically sitting at Starbucks.
They were waiting for their meeting to start. But I've had a lot of, like... You know, a lot of my black friends posting pictures of white people in Starbucks being like, should I call the cops on this one? Like,
being like,
this girl's been here for 20 minutes and she hasn't bought shit. So I was like, yeah, it is not equal. I get it.
You know, one thing I see a lot
is
the fashion police. Rest in peace, Joan Rivers. But
what are you wearing? This is horrible.
People like come after me and other drag queens and artists and people on social media.
Oh God.
And they're just like, you are wearing the wrong thing and dressing the wrong way. And it's
what
just,
is the right way to dress? Come on, dress what you want to wear.
And so I respond like, whoop, whoop, call the fashion police. And they don't like that. Issue me a ticket, honey, because I'm driving over the speed limit and I look fabulous. Cockroach milk.
Yeah.
You're a big superfood junkie. You like blueberries, yes. Sweet potatoes, brown
yes,
rice,
I do care
and vegetables.
About, I do care about food.
You do like brown rice and vegetables, don't you?
I mean, I wouldn't say brown rice is on the top of my list, but if you want me to, for the sake of your lead in, I'll say, yes, I love brown rice.
What are superfoods for you? Like, what do you feel?
Well, I can't eat avocados, so...
You're allergic
I'm
to
allergic
avocados.
To avocado. So, I don't
foods
know.
Foods that are rich in nutrients.
Yeah, I mean,
and,
just real food. I mean, I always
have
buy,
a reputation
like,
for being very healthy.
Yeah, I
think potatoes, actually. Regular potatoes?
Yeah.
A baked potato? You can even microwave in the oven. It's amazing. So folks are getting all excited about the milk made by the Pacific beetle cockroach. And this sounds like a plot from The Simpsons, you know, when they show the little mice and their nipples malk, you know. But this is like cockroaches, and I guess you can get like a nice glass of cockroach milk.
And it's supposed to taste like regular milk.
It just tastes like regular milk.
But you're like, you know, people in New York like, I'm going to make milk from the shit on my floor now. I'm going to make my own cockroach milk.
Four times.
It's only cockroaches in New York. Nobody in Chicago
cockroach has cockroaches. Milk boasts four times as much protein as cow's milk.
Oh.
And it's packed with essential amino acids.
I mean,
and its environmental impact is negligible because they're insects and not cows.
Yeah. I mean, I'll eat some cockroach milk. Do I dunk a cookie?
Yeah. What kind of cookie?
I don't know. We'll think about it in Oreo.
So a lot of folks like turn to almond milk and soy milk, and those are environmentally have a big impact. Coconut milk. Actually, isn't as big.
I like a coconut almond blend.
Me too. It's my favorite.
It's got the creamy of the coconut, but that nuttiness of the almond.
Ooh, sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you want it all over your face. did you see the Miss America pageant had their Me Too movement? Contestants talked about sexual harassment while wearing bikinis.
So?
Not really, but.
That's what
in parts of the show they are wearing bikinis, and then they had videos where they were like these heartfelt moments. And some critics are actually saying this is a positive move to this pageant.
I think it is. I mean, and the thing is, if this is the pageant previously owned by he who should not be named
Trump,
and like these women are being like, "Hi, yeah, I have a Me Too story about him,
the like, owner of the pageant."
Yeah, I think
right
it's important.
Now.
I think it's important that they put that in there because you know it's a thing of our times. And if they want to ask these women about like children are starving in Somalia, I know this and that, like you're going to have, you know, these are the questions over the years of, you know, that we've gotten asked, and the sexual harassment is very much prominent. So there would be no reason why Miss USA wouldn't answer a question about that. And also make it a thing.
My friend, Kirthy, who's a television producer, she worked on a reality series that explored the lives of pageant winners after the fact. Mm-hmm. And she said that generally speaking, and for the vast majority of them, they had a very empowering, positive experience of being pageant girls. Women in pageants, where they, you know, as young women, they're in these competitions. It taught them how to be confident, how to speak publicly, yeah, and how to organize their thoughts and present themselves in a way to pursue any careers. And a lot of them credit their experience in these pageants as giving them the confidence to pursue a very satisfying career later in life.
I mean, have you seen Drop Dead Gorgeous?
The film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in that, you know, she keeps going, you know, Aunt Diane Sawyer, she was Miss America. And she's like, she was, then she went on to be a news anchor. And then basically she gets to be a news anchor at the end of the story because gains the confidence of being in this pageant.
But I think a lot of women are dreams. Like rejecting Miss America having
I mean, they're still allowing themselves to be displayed in a way that is very seen as very old timey. Like, this is how we want to judge women still, instead of like, we're not having them on a debate team. We're like, we're still watching them strut across the stage in bathing suits and judging them and deciding you're the best woman because you have the best ideas. But I'm just saying, like, you know, that's fine. They're putting themselves out there like that. And by all means, like, I'm not trying to be in the pageant, but also we as a convention are still allowing that. Like, why we don't have to have bathing suits. Why do we have to have bathing suits? You can have evening gowns. Like, what is it about the bathing suit that has to be part of us?
One of the contestants and, to every aspect of them, okay, physically and mentally.
Well, but I'm saying, if you sign up for that, you're voluntarily signing up to walk across the stage and have people judge you doing that. And that's what you want to do. That's fine. But couldn't we not have another pageant that just judges people on either, you know,
well, I think bodybuilding, female bodybuilding competitions.
Well, that's a whole different.
certainly are literally about the women's or the man's body.
True. You know,
depending on the gender identity of the person.
But they're, and I'm just saying, like, yeah, we're hating on these people. They're voluntarily putting themselves into these competitions. So they're obviously okay with people judging them based on those attributes.
Sure.
So that's fine. I'm just saying, like, would we be such a horrible competition if we just didn't have that down the road? I'm just saying,
it's not my competition, it's not my horse, it's not my race.
But I'm saying is, from a young girl growing up, like, how many more, you know, as we move in this line of more body positivity and moving away from that the female perfection and what it is to be feminine and female and all that stuff, as we move through that conversation and everything, you know, I'm almost like, you know, is this still having these things? Is that still kind of putting us back, taking us back step, because young girls are still looking at that and thinking, I would never be like that. There's some girls that watch it and say, I want to do that. That looks so great. I want to do that. And they do it. But then there's other girls that watch it and say, I'm never going to be like that, so I'm never going to be pretty enough.
And some young gay boys look at Liberace and say, I want to grow up to be just like her.
And some boys watch Miss USA and say, I want to be just like that, too.
Listen, a lot of young drag queens, they're very inspired by those pageants. You know?
Some of the trans people I see on Instagram, I'm like, damn!
Yeah, honey. Damn! That's a woman, Mari. A woman.
A even the men, I'm like, trans and inked? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's you know,
there's a lot of selfies in the gym.
When you work really hard on your appearance and it's a life or death issue for you, chances are you're going to look good. And there is this kind of reputation as, like, you know, trans people are awkward in their appearance. But I would argue that the vast majority of trans individuals are extremely visually stunning. And part of that is because, you know, for them, it's very important to be comfortable in the gender that they identify as.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even though you can look, you can be happy in any gender, you can be happy presenting in any way. But, you know, for them, it's when it's a life and death experience of being comfortable as a man or a woman and really sort of like defining that identity for yourself, you're going to look really extraordinary to people and it's going to be a desirable thing. And so, The dark side of that is that then they're like, why is everybody paying attention to me? I'm like, because you're stunning. You know, if you want, if you don't want people to, and this is then the next phase for a lot of trans people that I see, once they sort of have been transitioning a long time and they're really like gorgeous and beautiful, then they sort of start frumping up in order to not get so much attention, to just kind of have some privacy and some quiet. You know, and that's, to me, it's like, you know, you can be anybody you want to be. You can present yourself as in an infinite number of ways. And so in terms of those pageants, it would be nice if they opened them up to trans individuals, to frumpy people, to artistic people, to women with tattoos, to women with unusual appearances.
We're letting still just a small funnel get through.
And you know what? It's like, if I say, like, organize a feminist beauty pageant. Have a wide variety of types of people. And maybe that's what reality TV shows are, kind of. In some ways, you know, America's Next Top Model, or, you know, Project Runway, or RuPaul's Drag Race, where they're sort of weighing in on people's creations visually, to some degree, that's kind of where those things are going. But even those reality TV shows have a lot of limitations. And, you know, broaden your horizons. Explore the possibilities. So Roseanne got canned. And now she's looking for work.
maybe she'll get a job in the White House.
Maybe she would.
She'll be the new Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I would love that.
That would be good.
Rosanna's the press secretary.
And she grabs what her do you crotch. Want? Says, "God bless America."
Now lies.
I miss the old Roseanne. The Roseanne we fell in love with.
I saw her on Venice Beach once.
In California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just she strolling. Was like. Just going, please don't look at me.
And I did a little, like, I think that was Roseanne. And I went back and I did a little loop around and I was like, that was Roseanne. And that's all.
any kind of thoughts on this? I mean, it's I'm a little surprised that ABC kind of pulled the plug so quickly, considering they knew what they were getting into.
Well, like I said, we already watched them, the snarky kids. We don't really care about the adult version.
It's done. So a Publix supermarket in South Carolina... people write all kinds of things on cakes, and I guess some of these grocery store chains, you can't write curse words on them.
Mm-hmm.
So a mother...
you can't get a happy fucking birthday.
Yeah. So mother asked to write on the cake for her high school graduate's student son, summa cum laude, which... Do you know what that means?
It means, like, the highest honor.
Some,
like,
come loud, some come soft.
No, it's like you're graduating with honors.
Yeah. So they basically censored it and wrote summa --- loud. Laude.
I would have just drawn a dick with a come.
So this is a teenage boy, you know.
He's 18.
I think he's 18, right? Yeah. And he's just, like, mortified. And everybody's, like, howling at the party. So later on, they were just, like, the mother kind of, like, contested it. And the supermarket chain is, like, not weighing in on this. And
I think they apologized.
Did they? I don't think they did. They haven't issued a public statement of any kind. Mm. At least to the USA Today article that I read. Mm. Remember? Oh, the manager, yeah. They issued an apology and offered a refund.
I want a cake that just says come. Just huge letters. C-U-M. And then, like, also add a balloon if you can. Add a rose.
You know what I've done? This just really stresses out the cake maker for years. Is right. Happy birthday, Fausto. That's fine. Please call me at 773-818-7799.
So they wrote the whole thing on the cake?
Yeah. And then when I get it, pick it up, I go, oh my God, of course this is not what I wanted. And they're like.
And then you go, free cake.
Free cake.
That's the trick. That's here. Small tip from Fausto. If you really are in the mood for a cake, go ahead, order something weird on it, then demand that they wrote it wrong. Get to keep that cake and say, no, I'm taking this cake. You know what? I don't have time for a new cake. And then refund.
Please do not sit on cake.
Ooh.
Or you write, when can I pick up this cake? Is 3:30 good? Thanks.
It's written on there. Yeah. It's Fausto, but can you add make the O a heart?
Aw, that's so sweet. But happy on birthday to you.
Happy on birthday.
This is what Disney fans all say to each other. I'm like, no shit. Actually, today is my birthday, you asshole. And they're like, boo.
I was like, no, it's not.
It's not. Neither.
Like, your birthday's in April.
Somewhere in April. I'm turning 29 this year. I'm so young.
29
I barely fit in my high school quinceañera dress. Can you believe I'm a size 16? Is that a small size?
That's more of a plus size.
Oh, shit.
You want to be tiny, you want to be like a 4 to a 6.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the believable.
That is not my
body size. For someone your build, you're probably more like a 12, 14.
I go, when I'm buying drag,
yeah, what are
I'm
you?
Shopping for 3X, 5X.
You're not that big.
Well, it's just because of the shoulders and the chest and the and
you
the
need
ass.
A size 14, 16,
no,
maybe.
Honey, I got to go higher.
No, yes. You don't. No, you don't.
Thick and juicy.
No, you don't.
You like these curves? Real women have curves, honey. And this is all real. Because I paid for it.
Yeah, but every time I do drag with my real curves, you're like, you need more curves.
You do need to pad more. Well, absolutely, yes.
I'm working
I've seen
on
you
it.
Drag.
I've got some ice cream
some
in my fridge.
Here.
I got some ice cream in my fridge.
No, you want the foam. You want to be able to adjust, you know?
No, part of me in my...
Do you want somebody to look at you and go, whoa, those hips are insane.
I've already had that comment. Thank
and
you.
And they do that already when they see you naked.
Bam.
Look at you. What, do you have a drag name outside of Meg Grunwald?
Yeah, Tiffany Alizé.
Tiffany Alizé.
Yeah.
My weave.
Tiffany Alizé.
And where can we see Tiffany Alizé?
I don't know.
You canceled your Vine account. Or, I mean,
Vine canceled everybody's itself. Accounts.
Did you save all those videos?
Yeah, I have them all.
Okay.
I got them all.
You're going to make it like a best of or something?
There's a best of on YouTube.
Oh, you did?
Under
okay.
Megville.
Megville.
But I have like, you know, every character had like multiple videos underneath them. So
have
I
you mean, moved onto like Instagram and doing short little videos?
Every now and then I'll do some kind of character thing on Instagram, but I don't know. I need to find
the magic is gone.
I mean, you know, I got what I want. I mean, I got more out of it than I expected to get from doing it. So I try to duplicate that kind of success now, I don't have the energy to like maintain something that I'm just not really passionate about right now. Like I'm not being driven by something right now. So I have a procrastination problem. So I'd be very,
well, that's the thing about like, you know, being
hard to push myself
successful on any social media platform or content platform to some degree, you know, even being successful on YouTube doesn't mean that you're actually going to get any money out of it.
No. And I mean, I am totally fine if my famous ship has sailed. It's fine. But like I just, you know, I like to do stuff that's fun and put up stuff that's fun. And I also like I second guess putting stuff on social media because I'm all like, why am I putting this up? Like, am I putting this up because I'm kind of lonely right now and I want somebody to like this? And if that's the answer, I don't ever put it up.
I sometimes post things because I know
I think
that
it's interesting.
Some people are maybe hurting, and I hope that they see it, that maybe lift their spirits
that's
a little
nice
bit.
Nice of you. I never think about that.
It's the community spirit. Hey, remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support. Speaking of which,
friends.
Go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a one-time donation or access 14 years of amazing podcasts at feastoffun.com/plus. Mmm, so good. The original plus, baby. That's right. Ask for it by name.
Plus. Like the section you think you buy in.
That's my, yeah. Like my drag.
He's like, I buy it.
Plus size, baby. Thick and juicy. You got all the flavor, all the colors, all the sensations, and then some. Can you handle this? I don't think you can handle this. Woo!
We really need Mark to get back here.
Mark, where are you?
Mark,
dude, where are you? We need some help from you now, because Daphne Dumont is not enough. We need some help
from
you now.
You have Alita to
Alita is a mannequin. She don't talk.
You could talk to her.
She judges me with her big tits.
Well,
she just looks at me and says, "You know you want these big tits, Fausto, but you can't have them because they're made out of
Bondo."
Ooh, it makes me so horny. I look in the mirror and I go, "Don't you wish you had tits like this?" I don't, you know, I try to get nice tits, and it just comes, basically looks like what it is. It's polyfill stuffed into a bra. Because I try to get those silicone things,
yeah,
and it just weighs They're so heavy. Much. I feel like I'm carrying a backpack on my chest.
What does James Manfield do?
She has a very expensive thing called Boobs for Queens.
I like it.
That's and good. James from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. He talks like this. He has a good, she's got a good cleave.
And when James Manfield's not talking like that, he's like, "Hey, how's it going, baby?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, baby.
When he's talking this,
I talk like a baby." It's like so Urkel on helium.
I like those. Yeah. I've seen Nina Bonina. She's got a good chest plate, too.
Nina Bonina, Banana Fofana, Banana. Brown.
There's an Obama in there.
Obama, Bin Laden, Brown.
But she's got a good plate.
Yeah, that's also the same. I believe that's the same company. There's a couple other companies.
You gotta wear a choker
there.
Pretty much all the time, but
yeah.
Or some kind of high-necked dress.
I wanted to buy one, and Mark was like, "You are absolutely not spending our hard-earned money."
When daddy's away.
I went shopping, and now
Fausto's
I got nice
on
tits.
Amazon Prime.
I got nice tits. How do you like
You come
it?
Back and be like,
so horny. I do want to get tits. Well, Mark's gone. He would kill me. He got back, he'd be like, he would set the whole place on fire. He saw that I bought boobs for Queens.
But then he'd be like, "Let me try them on."
Yeah, he's like, "I got to borrow those."
How much are they?
They're like expensive. They're like $600 or
Whoa.
Something.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like you might as well buy gold bullion.
Can you like, do they come with like a little flask? Like, can you fill them with wine and then?
Do they print money? Because these things cost fortunes.
What if they get filled with wine and then you just have like a little tube and you're just like. You'd have flat tits by the end of the night.
It's like like when you're out in the ball game and you put a beer on your hat.
Yeah.
What are those called? Koozies? Cozies?
Koozies.
A koozie tits. That's what, you know, might be a good marketing thing.
Koozie tits?
Yeah, it's just like for drag queens who don't want to pay for drinks at bars. Stuff your boobs.
Are you a cheap drag performer? Well, I've got the koozie tits for you.
Your boobs will be hot.
They're called boozies.
Boozies. You know you're going to... Someone's going to steal
that. Don't
you
dare take that. Don't you dare take that, listeners.
Patent pending. Stolen.
Ooh, girl, consider it stolen.
That's a good product.
Yeah. I think there's already one that exists.
They
sell
bracelets.
There's a bra that you can do.
Bracelets now that are flasks. And the hollow... It's metal bracelets, and the hollow of the bracelet, you can put
How
your booze.
How much booze, though? It's like a shot.
It's not bad. It's a pretty big bracelet.
Also, okay, we need booze-let. To talk about ways. If you're, like, coming up with all these ways to, like, sneak a little bit of booze in somewhere, maybe we have a bigger problem.
They also sell, you know, flask earrings that can be filled with alcohol, too.
You better have some Everclear in there to make it worth it.
You're like, it's like, yeah, it's very thimful, but they, you know, they work. And
that's too much effort.
Or you can have a flask fascinator on your hand. Ways, sneaky ways.
I
want to
just walk
bring.
Into, like, walk in somewhere with one of those beer helmets. Just two beers. Hey, guys. Nope, not smuggling anything. I'll probably put LaCroix in them.
Oh, you're so wholesome.
I love the LaCroix helmet.
Are you sure you're not Mormon? You're drinking more LaCroix at a bar?
I mean, I have
you don't drink
couple
caffeine
threesomes.
Either.
Is that what? What?
You don't yeah, you have threesome.
Sister wives.
All your sister wives. No, but you don't drink caffeine.
I don't really drink caffeine.
And you drink really, you're very clean on the alcohol. Pretty,
yeah, I mean, I drink
And
I drink
then you
alcohol,
also go
but...
wear special underwear.
Hello.
Hello, my name is Brother Meg, and I would like to tell you about this most amazing podcast, Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun. Hello.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Ding dong.
Yay!
Yeah, and no, I'm not Mormon. Not Mormon.
Folks can hang out with Meg Grunwald.
Yes.
You can. On her social media.
You can see me on Instagram at Megalopolis18. You can also catch me at Comedy Sports and Laugh Out Loud Theater.
And you also teach improv classes.
I do teach improv.
For drag queens.
This is it. Yes. Yes. This is how we're going to start this. No, you were just suggesting that I
thought it'd be
stop.
A good thing to do so, okay, to we're teach gonna, drag here, queens who want to get on Drag Race how to improvise, how to be witty quickly. Because
so
a lot of drag queens do ask me about this.
If you, okay, so then yeah. Listeners, if you show an interest, you know, make a comment somewhere that you make regular comments and say, yeah, I would attend that. Cause I will happily put together a workshop.
I would go there for one day.
Yeah.
A 1 day workshop.
So listeners, let me know if you'd want one.
Well, it's something you have to initiate.
I know, but you got to see the interest level.
Well, people are just not going to like chomp out the bit at the end of a podcast, or are they?
Well, I'm just saying I'm giving them a chore.
Go work.
Go write a comment saying, yes, I'd be interested, or no, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself, Meg, and your stupid wigs, and your nice curves, and your flawless makeup.
Okay, well, now you're sounding jealous.
And your witty banter, all the big, thick dicks you put in your body.
Are you free-falling? Because you're being very Tom Petty right now.
Does he call me a whore? Does he call everyone a whore? Or does he just know me really, really well? Meg, thank you so much for kicking with me today.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.